Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show this morning. We're meeting with very special guest, Jim Hunter, who's the president and CEO of House Doctors. The House Doctors Handyman franchise is an exciting franchise opportunity. The home repair and handyman industry in North America is growing significantly due to the increase in home ownership and aging housing stock. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews, so stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How you doing, Dave? How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Marty, how about you this week?
Good, good. Beautiful week here in Pennsylvania. A nice day today, you know.
Yeah.
It seems like spring is finally hitting.
Right. Yeah, so sun's out. It's nice.
Yeah, and we got a holiday this weekend, you know. So, you know, lots going on for this week. You know, I didn't tell you, we got my son's picture with the Easter Bunny, so
wow.
I know we've been sharing these stories throughout the years, so
right.
And he looks terrified. I mean, he was just, of course, he was crying and everything like that,
right.
You know, but it's just fun to take those pictures, you know, so just very interesting. So I'll have to send you a copy of that, and we'll perhaps post it on the website.
Yeah, our kids in our town went on, had an Easter egg hunt.
Oh, okay.
And then my daughter took her picture with the Easter Bunny. My son's a little nervous still.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty terrifying to the kids. You know, I didn't realize, you know, I mean, he just had this look on his face like, why are you doing this to me, you know? So it's a great picture, though, but lots of fun. Our last show, Don, we met with Jennifer Lemke of the Weedman Franchise Opportunity, and Weedman had, they have almost 40 years of lawn care experience, and they've grown to be the world's largest lawn care franchise. Thought it was a very interesting concept. This was the first time we've had this type of franchise on the show in two years, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
What were your thoughts on last week?
Well, I mean, obviously, a very smart woman.
Right.
It was, you know, the whole success story on what happened, I think. What, her father became a franchisee in Canada, and then they ended up buying up more territory, eventually becoming, I think, the largest franchisee in Canada, and then owning the rights to expand into the U.S.
The U.S. She's got that master franchisor title here
in
the United States, you know, so... Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be huge here in the States. One of the things that really stood out for me, you know, and it's something that I'm going to use with my marketing class, I'm always talking about wowing the customers or wowing your employees. And they had a great, they have this great culture. She said, let us amaze you, you know, and that's really what they aspire to do is, you know, amaze their customers, amaze their employees. And they just have that interesting culture, which is a big part of what you should look for when you buy a franchise, you know, so...
I mean, there's so much competition in that business, lawn care, lawn design, and landscaping, but I like the edge that people would have in investing in their franchise, you know, because you have to have the edge, whether it's marketing, advertising, the support, the technology aspect of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, something that she mentioned, you know, and a lot of our other guests have mentioned this, and it'll probably even be mentioned on today's show, you know, when we have Jim on the show today, Don, is, you know, people are taking better care of their surroundings, aren't they? You know,
right.
We've used the word God probably like a dozen times in the last year is staycation, you know. People are just putting more into their homes, you know. Again, they're not going on vacation as much. They're being a little more careful. And this is an investment, isn't it? You know, I mean, in many cases, I know Jennifer was mentioning that, you know, by using their type of service with the Weedman franchise, I mean, increases the value of your home.
Right.
You know? Not only your home, but your neighbor's homes as well. And, you know, sometimes I think you have that pressure, don't you? I don't know if you have it with, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. You know, you look at your neighbor's lawn and you say, God, it looks so nice.
How's it so green? And you see that they're putting money into it. And that was interesting, too, because, you know, a lot of people sell their homes throughout the country and
might not be
a bad idea to make a little investment, make the lawn, and, you know, your outside area look real nice.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It's an investment, you know. So, you know, and those guys that have weeds on their lawn, I'm sure they get a lot of nasty looks from their neighbors, don't they? You know, so, you know, it's a great service. I'd love to watch them grow throughout, you know, throughout the next year. I have a feeling, again, there's going to be some nice growth here in the States, and, you know, perhaps we'll have her back towards the end of the year or, you know, early next year.
Right, definitely.
So, good show. What do we got going on today and over the next – I'll talk about what's going on over the next month. You could tell me what's going on today.
Yeah, well, today, Jim Hunter, president and CEO of House Doctors.
That's good. We're looking forward to that.
Handyman franchise, and they look like they're on the right track, so we'll find out all about their history and everything from Jim.
Yeah, this is another growing industry, you know. And next week, Don, we got this is over the next month. We have Wing Zone. The following week after that, we have Big Mouth Advertising, and you and I are both familiar with that franchise, aren't we?
Right. Definitely.
You know, we had that nice billboard on Big Mouth's billboard in Washington, D.C., and it was just really
right
incredible.
At the trade show, and they're a company that has ads on, you know, beautiful truck, and we'll hear all about it.
Yeah, it really is
had,
amazing.
Yeah, they had our radio show ad. Even driving from Florida up to D.C., they had to drive the truck all the way to the show, and then while at the show inside, they had the truck right near their booth space. It was, and they had a tremendous spot, and they had our show head up a lot, so that was nice.
Yeah, we have the pic. I don't know. Did I send you the pictures or not? I can't remember.
No.
Billboard. Okay, I'm going to have to send that to you because it was really nice. And they had a nice turnout at their booth as well, you know, which was nice to see. And then the following week after that, I know you and I are both fans of this franchise, Rita's. You know, and we've had Rita's on our show in the past. We've had Jim Rudolph, who was like really a professor when we had him on.
Right.
You know, it's just incredible, so much experience. And the week after that, we have TSS Photography. And I know you're familiar with those guys, aren't you?
Yes.
So that's good. So it's a pretty strong lineup over the next month. We have a lot more shows that are going to go up on the website, just so you know. But that's what the next month is going to look like. So a lot of exciting stuff happening. So, yeah. So what's going on in the world of franchising, Don?
Okay. Well, I found a few things here, Marty. Here's our friends over at Franchise Times Magazine, an article, Tight Credits Turning Franchisors into Lenders by Jonathan Mays.
Hmm.
V2K window decor had to do something. Franchise sales were plummeting, not because people weren't interested in opening units for the low-cost home-based concept, but because they couldn't get loans. So the company took the financing issue into its own hands, literally by starting its own internal financing program. I think years ago, more franchisors would provide financing. Then I think a lot got away from it. You know, probably still a lot of the lower-income or startup franchises, do some of that. But
I noticed that too. I know when I not to cut you off, but when I got involved in franchising, you know, back in I guess it was '98, I noticed a lot more franchisors seem to do financing. You know,
right.
So that was interesting.
It goes on. Now the company gets prospects' credit information along with all the other information V2K gets in deciding who should get a franchise. We were finding that people otherwise qualified can't get financing through traditional methods. And obviously that's my business, doing business loans nationwide for franchisees. It's been more difficult. Loans still, you just have to know where to go. That's where our company comes in. He says demand is still out there, but the availability of credit is thin, says Paul Linenberg. Incentives such as reduced royalties or waived franchise fees have been common as franchise sales have fallen amid the recession and the collapse of the credit markets. But a growing number of systems are taking an even more radical step by guaranteeing and servicing the loans or even lending the money outright.
Hmm.
Some companies feel they have little choice. Low interest rates for years encouraged a loose lending environment that fueled growth in the franchise sector. The credit crisis has put a stop to that environment. While there is some evidence that the market is improving, lending is unlikely to reach pre-recession levels anytime soon. And I agree with that it's probably never going to get back to the way it was, but it's going to be getting better, but things are still going to be tough for a little while.
Sure.
Probably for the rest of the year. The lending tightness is especially difficult on franchises with smaller initial investments because banks are less likely to write smaller loans in the current environment. The world has changed, says Tarek Farid, CEO of Edible Arrangements, who we know, who we've had on the show, of course.
Yeah, he was a great guest, too, yeah.
It's gone from banks giving loans to anyone with a pulse to where they hardly give to anybody.
Wow.
I disagree with that a little bit.
Even
before the recession, it's not like, lenders still had their guidelines, but looser, of course.
Sure.
And now loans are happening, but it's obviously gotten much tougher. Tighter lending is slowing companies' growth and putting a substantial dent in revenues. V2K's revenue from franchise sales in the 3 months ending December 31 fell nearly 80%. That difference, about $236,000, represented just about all of the company's total losses for the quarter.
Wow.
As a result, franchisors are now considering options they wouldn't have even thought of a few months ago so they can get units open, such as internal financing. Mm-hmm. Everybody's feeling the same effects as we are, Linenberg said. And he says we needed to do something innovative.
Right.
To change the dynamic. Internal financing is hardly new. Companies such as ServiceMaster, Applebee's, and Hardee's have had such programs in the past to ensure that their units can get the financing they need, yet franchisors have generally been reluctant to develop such financing management and programs, in large part because they had no need to give the ready availability of credit and because they feared the risks of financing. I mean, that is kind of risky, again, it depends on the size loan you're giving, but
sure.
I can't see this becoming the norm, franchisors, financing people. But I could see a few concepts here and there. Maybe the more established ones, the more successful, the more with a lot more, funds in their accounts. I can see, doing this a little bit.
What about becoming like a cosigner or something like that? Would that ever be an option with the franchise? Cosigns on the loan, it's always risky, franchising is a relationship,
Right.
So who knows? I guess there's a lot of different options, but I see, that I guess there's a problem here, and they're trying to, as you said, be innovative, and think outside the box and say, okay, what can we do here, to overcome the situation. So I guess there's a lot of different ideas. We've seen a lot of creative ideas over the last 6 months, haven't we, Don, as far as, like, you know, what's going on in franchising with, you know, some two-for-one deals and, waiving the franchise fee, you know, in some cases, which could be kind of high, right? I mean, we're, like, talking sometimes $30,000, $40,000 to waive that. I mean, that's pretty attractive in some cases. So I think it's made the whole world of franchising a lot more competitive, that's for sure.
Right, yeah. We've seen different franchise systems making adjustments that just keep trying to grow or just maintain their status.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's an interesting article, you know. I mean,
It goes on a little bit here. It says, now that they have a need, franchisors have been looking into the plans with gusto. Dennis Monroe, attorney with the Minneapolis law firm of Crass Monroe, said that his firm has been inundated with requests from franchisors seeking to guarantee financing. They're open to the options, he says. He believes that franchisors were conservative over the years, which kept them from developing programs. Yet he said they should have been doing this a long time ago, actually.
Right.
He said franchisors with internal financing plans not only ensure financing but can get more control over what happens to their system. And he said that the risks of internal financing need to be overstated. I think it's just silly not to have been doing it in the past, he said. It's not his money, so I guess.
That's true.
I guess they could have saved their systems a lot of heartache.
Right.
Said. But it can open up a lot of heartache. You know, that's really putting it's good because it's showing your franchisee you have a lot of confidence in your system.
Sure.
If you're willing to provide your own financing. So I guess there's some pros and cons to this. But
I
we'll
think so. And I was going
to
say, too, does it enhance the relationship, too? You know what I mean? Knowing that the franchise has done that for you. Would you feel more loyalty towards them, you know? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things to take into consideration here. You know,
Here, Marty, what you were saying, there are numerous ways companies can offer internal financing. They can provide limited guarantees, full guarantees, loan servicing, remarketing agreements, mezzanine financing, or joint ventures.
Mm-hmm.
Franchisors can raise money themselves and set up a separate fund, or they can simply use their own available cash.
Well, and we spoke about that. You know, a lot of people, I'm surprised, Don, I guess, I don't know if you experience this, I suspect you might, but a lot of people are unaware of, like, how, like, SBA loans actually work. You know, that it's not really coming from the SBA, right? I mean, they're kind of like backing it, right? In case there's a default,
right?
But they're not actually writing a check,
right? No, the guarantee, government, the Small Business Administration, they're guaranteeing the loan.
Right.
They're serving as like an insurance company to just regular banks and lenders nationwide who are actually lending the money, but getting the guarantee through the SBA. So they're getting a certain percent guarantee where they can recoup money in the case of a defaulted loan.
Yeah, and you know, I find that a lot of younger aspiring entrepreneurs don't get this. You know, I have to kind of explain it to them, because I think their perception is that the SBA cuts them a check for $100,000 or $200,000, and they're off on their way. You know, so and we've had shows, by the way, that discuss this topic. I think at some point we are going to have another franchise funding show, aren't we?
Definitely.
You know, educating our listeners about the whole funding process, because it is such a hot topic.
That's
everything that we do.
Definitely a must, and we'll have a few guests on, besides myself, talking about it in detail on what's happening. Here's something, Marty. U.S. News and World Report, how to start a small business now. A tough economic climate can be the best time to become an entrepreneur, by Kimberly Palmer. And they ask her some questions. What are the pros and cons of starting a small business in this kind of economic environment? She says it can be really great time to start a business, which is the opposite of what people presume, obviously in a tough time. The down market can provide lower cost of real estate in terms of leasing space and lower labor costs because people are willing to work for less or for deferred payments with the option of equity. Larger groups of people are open to taking that chance of being an entrepreneur because being laid off is that kick in the butt to take their idea to the next level.
Wow, that's interesting. Something that I just heard last week, Don, is I think you'll find this interesting, because it relates to franchising, is McDonald's. I mean, in a lot of places like that, I mean, they're getting applicants, that have college, they have bachelor's degrees and I don't know about master's degrees and things like that, but you know, yeah, the pool for employees is so much higher today, you know. So
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's more quality people.
Sure.
A lot better, you know, lease negotiation if that's the type of franchise you're doing. These are the lowest rates for a business loan in 5 years.
And that's what entrepreneurs do is, I mean, they look for this kind of opportunity, you know. I know the franchise that we're having on today, you know, for House Hunters. I mean, they're, you know, they've taken advantage of this, you know, economy. I know a lot more people are, you know, improving their homes and things like that and having things fixed. So,
right.
You know, I know some of their franchisees are doing very, very well.
Right. It goes on, Marty. Things to consider include whether you have enough operating capital. So if you have payables that haven't come in for 30, 60, or 90 days, you can still operate. For a lot of businesses, like a restaurant, you need to plan on not turning a profit for 3 years. And that's what's nice about franchising. I mean,
right.
I mean, a lot of times you're making a profit in the first year. Not the case with a non-franchise business, which, you know, stats show take longer. So identifying your niche and having a well-thought-out strategic plan is paramount. Focusing on service, especially in a down market when people are less willing to part with their dollars, is the key to repeat clientele. Next question, are there types of business that are best to stay away from in a down market? Some of the businesses that will be harder hit include more of the discretionary type of services, such as salons and spas.
Hmm.
I do financing for some spas and massage spas. And they're doing great. The numbers are up.
Yeah, that's interesting. We've seen, you know, there have been studies. I think you might have even referenced it 3 weeks ago. Sometimes I don't know where I get all my information, you know, but a lot of it comes from the show, you know, that a lot more people are going for massages and things like that, you know,
right,
to make themselves feel better, you know, during, you know, times like this, you know, people do things like that, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting. I never knew that. So, it's you know, you wonder which source.
A lot of people go for massages for medical reasons. That's a
sure
thing that people don't know about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Says here, certain franchises, such as large brand name ones, that charge up to $20 million just to get the franchise license. I mean,
wow.
I don't even know. $20
million. Lord God.
Or something you might want to stay away from, of course. Something with a lower initial startup cost, like an original idea, could make more sense. You also have to look at the overall environment. Sandwich shops are a good business model, but they're overly saturated. That's what's nice about a franchise. Again, they'll help you with the site and, you know, let you know the best place to put your franchise, you know, whatever you know, industry you're in, if you have to lease space.
Right.
And what else here? Do most small businesses fail, especially during a recession? It says it's a high percentage that fail, upwards of 50% within the first 3 years. Remember, this article is about just business in general, not
correct
specifically franchise.
Right.
Some of the major issues are not having a well-thought-out business plan, the inability to execute on an idea, not having sufficient reserves and cash flow. They might not be able to get funding to start their business from traditional sources like the SBA. Mm-hmm. They might be focused on their family or home to finance the business, which can be extremely risky.
Yeah.
So, again, that's why we've always been a big proponent of you know, hiring those specialists and experts. And,
oh,
and,
absolutely.
And just to speak, yeah, you know, so speak to a franchise consultant to help you find a franchise
mm-hmm.
business. Then with the franchise business, your chance of failure, you know, is much lower. It's a proven plan. You don't have to do all this stuff. Again,
right.
you know, you have to either be that person who's willing to give up a little bit of control to have the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side, everything's going to be done for you, and then you can get a specialist, an expert to help you with financing, and attorneys to review the franchise agreement, the lease, all that stuff is really the way to go.
Yeah, you can make all these extra fees, by the way. You can make it part of the loan package, can't you, Dom? Like, for example, like the franchise attorney, let's say it's a $10,000 fee, you can make that part of the loan package, can't you? I mean, it's the same thing with hiring like a, let's say like a real estate expert or, you know, an accounting expert or whatever that may be.
Right.
You can pull all of that into your loan, can't you? I mean, so you say,
yeah,
okay, $20,000 in consulting fees, you know, for attorney, someone to find a location, and perhaps the account. I think a lot of people don't know that they can do that. They can incorporate those expenses.
All go towards someone's down payment, their injection,
yeah,
all their costs associated with the franchise.
Absolutely, you know, because I think a lot of times people say, I've heard in the past, I'm sure you might have heard it, you know, people say, oh, I can't afford a franchise attorney. I'll use my cousin Vito, you know, he's an attorney.
Right.
He's got a, you know, very bad move if he's not a franchise attorney, you know, very, very dangerous. So you
right.
want to be careful about that. A lot of the things that she was mentioning in the article, you know, a lack of business plan or a lack of system, whatever it may be. I mean, again, these are the advantages of buying a franchise. You know, is the homework in most cases has already been done. You know what I mean? They've come up with this system. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know, you don't have to stay up late at night and say, God, I got to think of my next marketing
right.
campaign. You know, I mean,
yeah.
You know, which is, again, why you and I have been so pro-franchising. You know, so, yeah, absolutely.
And here's something through Global BX. They had a blog, and they put on here 12 things you absolutely must know before buying a business. And this is good for, you know, people listening, you know, existing franchisees who are looking to diversify, expand.
Mm-hmm.
Just some basics. For example, how happy is the client base? Is the market for this product or service growing? So these are things that, you know, some real basic but necessary questions you have to ask, you know, to that existing business.
Right.
That you're looking to buy. So it's not a startup. You know, some of these could apply to a startup, but basically on a resale. Of course, when you're buying an existing business, well, how happy are the clients? What is the brand promise? What is the quality of the management team?
Mm.
Who are the key players? Are they happy? And, of course, are the employees happy?
Right.
Has the valuation of the business increased every year? How does the company manage and measure performance at the company level, the functional level, the individual level? Why is the business being sold? What is the quality of the tangible assets? What is the reputation of the company?
True.
Are the financials up to date and the taxes paid, and and are the debts, you know, itemized? And I added, you know, another one in the case it's a franchise resale. Of course, what's the track record of the franchise system?
Sure, absolutely.
At the corporate level, and then that gets into a whole other thing where you have to go through a process of being approved by the franchisor, and
mm-hmm.
you're going to want to go check them out.
Right.
That's probably a big reason why you were looking at that specific resale. That you probably like that business. You might have already done your homework on the franchise, but that's going to be part of the process. But these are good practical things that you have to do when you're looking at it in an existing business for sale.
Yeah, it's a wonderful article, you know, to bring to the listener's attention, because, again, I think, you know, we could probably spend the whole show talking about this, but, I mean, it does show you the differences or the advantages of why you'd want to go into a franchise system. Again, that's not for everybody. You know, we've mentioned that time and time again, that franchising is definitely not for everybody. But, I mean, it is. There are certainly major advantages. You know, I mean, look at the franchise disclosure document, you know, when talking about financials and things like that, you know.
Right.
You know, that information is should be in there, I guess, under the earnings claim section. I guess in most cases it's like an average or something like that. But, again, that franchise disclosure document is very, very powerful. It separates it from a regular business opportunity, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to take into consideration. So it's a wonderful article. I was thinking that we should probably start posting these things
right.
up on our website, shouldn't we?
Yeah, it's a good idea.
You know, so always thinking. But why don't we take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show this morning. We're welcoming very special guest, Jim Hunter, who is the president and CEO of House Doctors. And House Doctors Handyman Franchise is an exciting franchise opportunity. And as we were saying earlier, Don, the home repair and handyman industry in North America is growing significantly due to the increase in home ownership. Hey, Jim, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Martin and Don. It's great to be here. I'm excited to be part of your show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Jim.
The show. Yeah, absolutely. Jim, we always like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning?
Yeah, I'm calling from the House Doctors corporate office in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah, not that far away. I can kind of guess what's the weather like there today. Is it a little
chilly, a wee bit cool, but it's sunny.
Yeah, same here in Pennsylvania. You know, we're not that far away from you, you know. So Don and I were excited to speak with you, Jim, because we know that your background, you have that franchisor, franchisee background, which is kind of a rare opportunity to have that kind of guest on the show. Did you want to talk to our guests about, you know, what you were doing before joining House Doctors?
Yeah, in the past, I've been a franchisee. You know, originally I had a corporate background in telecoms and decided I wanted to own my own business, and I had this entrepreneur thing in me, so I decided to buy a franchise 20 years ago, in fact, back in, obviously I'm not from around here, back in Scotland. I started a franchise, a quick copy franchise, interestingly enough, and it was a, you know, the franchise took it into at that time, and 20 years ago, we had great success. I had it for myself, my wife had it for 10 years, and grew the business and built it and sold it, which is, you know, exciting thing of business ownership, and you're building an asset for yourself. And then I moved on to the franchisor side after I emigrated to Canada, and I've been involved with different franchisors. So I think the unique partnership in my mind of franchisee and franchisor, if you get the right match, it's a very strong business model.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It must help you with your job too, I suspect, Jim, you know, to have that franchisee background, because I guess you can kind of sort of put yourself in their shoes, you know, you kind of sort of know what they're thinking.
Yes, exactly. You know, I get excited about people getting into business and seeing them build their success and building their assets. And you know, I get excited when people come along looking at our franchise. And because I've been a franchisee, you know, I used to sit at their side of the table as such. And it gives me a good feeling of where they are in their lives. So they've reached a crossroads and they're looking to make the right decision.
I imagine. That's fantastic.
So tell our audience, Jim, if you can, what House Doctors does. Tell us a little bit about the franchise system.
Mm-hmm. Well, House Doctors started in 1995 in Cincinnati, and we were one of the first companies to realize that the society that we're in was changing a bit from do-it-yourself to do-it-for-me, and the service industries were growing. And House Doctors was started to bring professionalism to the handyman market, which was growing. More people wanted handyman work done, and contractors were really focused on the larger jobs. And so there's no professional company really focused on this. So the small jobs like so you have in your to-do list or your honey-do list is where House Doctors started them. Stuff like changing a faucet or repairing drywall. Interestingly enough, I read recently the average homeowner has 22 items on their honey-do list. So we'd hit on a growing niche. And within 6 months of starting, the first House Doctors had six handymen hired. And the guys were booked out for 2 to 3 weeks in advance. And obviously with that initial success, about a year and a half later, a franchise system was launched. Now we have over 100 territories. We have franchisees in 42 states. The franchisees most definitely bring the professionalism to their market. They employ their handymen. The handymen are insured and bonded. They're focused on customer service, so they turn up on time. They also wear uniforms. They clean up after them when the work is done. So it's that professionalism that maybe wasn't as strong in the market a few years ago that House Doctors brings to the market. And again, it's focusing on the small jobs, although now our guys do larger, quite a few of our franchisees do larger major home improvements like kitchen remodels and bathroom remodels.
Having a house is a pain in the neck, just to be fun. And there's always stuff, Sharon's always talking about her own honey-do list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's just, hey, that's just the deal when you have a home. And
true.
You're right, you go pick up the phone book. You know, maybe if you're lucky, you have a handyman. But those people, mm-hmm. at least in my experience, you've used over the years, have either moved on or they're just unreliable.
Right. Yeah, I would
agree
with that.
So I can see where this is, you know, such a valuable service, just to come there with, you know, as long as there's, you know, consistency, the job's
yes.
done right, it's not too expensive, and it's a professional
yes.
job, like you said, Jim.
Yes.
I can see where, you know, the growth. Now, you guys started in 95. Did you start right out with franchising the concept and doing it, or had you been doing it at just the business before franchising?
Well, the people who started, the guys who started it, had originally been involved in a company called Home Team, which was a franchise, and it was, in fact, focused on the home inspection industry. And that franchise, they started that, bringing professionalism to that market, and their strength was to find niches that were growing. So they had a little bit of franchising background behind them, but it took about a year and a half, 2 years to develop the model before they launched it as a franchise. But I mean, the way I see it, this market isn't going anywhere. It's not going away. It's growing and growing because more and more home ownership and more people having less time to do things is what we're all about. Dual-income families, baby boomers, all these things are feeding this market and, as I say, enabling our franchisees to get some real growth.
I would agree with that.
I would think, Jim, in this economy homes aren't selling. People might decide to take their home off the market and maybe put a little bit more money into their home and, you know, get all that stuff. Or they, you know, when they want to just even put their house up for sale, it's good to have House Doctors come in and just take care of the little things to put their house in best position for sale. So, you know, really you're there to service all kinds of situations.
Yeah, interestingly enough, one of the exciting things that happened last year, you know, despite the economy, the downturn in the economy, is we had our highest producing franchisee in the history of the company, and we had our fastest growing franchisee in the history of the company. And you were right on the mark there with one of the reasons that's causing that is that less people are moving just now, and more people are focused on their house at the moment. You know, go back to my days from Scotland. People are making their house into their castle, and they're really focused on improving what they have at the moment, and maybe not moving so much, and still want a feel good factor from what improvements to do on their house. So that's actually playing into our franchise, the industry and the market that we're in. There's more people, as I say, looking to fix up what they have at the moment.
Right, it's their biggest investment, the most
right.
important
yes.
investment. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was interesting, Jim, that example you were giving. I think that was the one. I'm familiar. Was that the one in Pottsville, Pennsylvania?
Yes.
I see you were talking. I'm familiar with Pottsville, and I know it's not a very big town. You know, I'm actually about 60 miles north of Philly. You know, so Pottsville isn't that far from me. I would say it's about 30 miles. You know, so it's interesting that you know it's a fairly small town, yet they did so well. You know,
yes.
So it's really quite incredible.
Yes, we've seen quite a few franchisees. Over last year, and again the same start to this year, and they're doing really well. And the guy Joe in Pottsville, it's a fantastic story of how he's built his business just over a few short years to be the highest revenue generating within a system. And as I say, he does a lot that we have now real good systems and programs in place for the franchisee. And Joe works very close with the franchisor, and he also, as I say, the market and the timing of his business is just so perfect for him. So he's really doing well. We had another guy who bought a franchise last year from an area very close to Joe in a different territory, and he said that he travelled into Joe's area and saw our name everywhere. So he obviously does his marketing as well.
That's fantastic.
And Jim, for people listening, how would you describe to them the House Doctors franchise system? Someone's thinking of advertising. You know, people think, well, you know, I don't want to get my hands dirty and do the work. People owning a House Doctors franchise, they're more or less in a CEO, a management type position. Maybe talk about that, just the whole system in
general. Yes. Yeah, that's a great question again. House Doctors, I mean, immediately people look at House Doctors and they think, well, I don't know if I want to be a handyman swinging a hammer, but our franchisees don't. They are most definitely are the CEO, the manager of the business. House Doctors now has franchisees, as I say, in over 100 territories, and very few of them actually swing the hammer or repair the drywall. The franchisees employ handymen. They build their teams, and the handymen, as I say, insured and bonded, so they look for good guys. But the franchisee's responsibility is the management of the business. It's most definitely working with the team and you know, making sure the guys are doing well with the customer service aspect of it, but also realizing the importance of the marketing of the business and having an efficient office support structure behind the handyman who are scheduled to go out and do the work. So we look for, in our franchise, we look for managers who are comfortable with a sales and marketing type role within the business, and also comfortable with driving a business forward and working with a franchisor who can support them and offer good programs to them.
In this economy, I guess it's also helping House Doctors. It's, unfortunately, more people are out of work. I know that can be a tough part of this business, finding the employees.
Right.
But there's just a lot of quality, skilled people out there. So I guess that's been helping your franchisees to find some workers.
Yes, most definitely. The franchisees, I've never heard a complaint of people saying that they can't find the guys who will do this work. Most definitely the guys are there. The skill that the franchisee has to have, and part of our training, a major part of our training, is focused on finding the right guys to build this professional company within their community. There's lots of guys out there. It's finding the right ones is what we focus on.
Yeah, and I think that's important. One of the things I like too, Jim, is how your franchisees play the role of a manager, you know, so they get a chance to work on their business and not so much in their business. You know, Don and I have referenced that a lot, you know. It could be kind of dangerous, you know, so I think that's a wonderful thing. So that's fantastic. One of the questions we've been asking recently on the show, Jim, is what role has technology played in your business? Has it played a big role?
Yes, technology, I think in any business today, I think technology has to be a part of it. And I think the challenge that the small independent business person may find longer term is that technology has to be a part of the business really, really quickly. The benefit of franchise brings on board is that we have, as a franchisor, a technology type department that we have our own proprietary software for scheduling the handyman. We're actually this year going to launch online software, web-based software. So in fact, the franchisees can have access basically from anywhere to their scheduling and their marketing software that we put in place for them. So as I say, technology is something that I believe that every business should bring on board. I think as part of a franchise, there's a huge advantage, and the franchisor focuses on that for you. And I think, you know, as the internet grows and develops, what we've found over the last few years is there's more and more leads and more work coming from the internet, even in this industry, which years ago you probably wouldn't have looked for a handyman on the internet.
That's so true. And there have been a lot of changes. Jim, we have to take a quick break. Are you able to stick around for another segment?
Oh, yes, certainly, yeah.
We'll take another quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Thank you.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchipreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And we have a very special guest today, Jim Hunter, who is the president and CEO of House Doctors. And House Doctors is a nationally franchised professional handyman service and is one of the leading property repair, remodeling, and maintenance companies in North America. And Don, I think I'm up. Jim, one of the questions I wanted to get back to, are there any numbers on your industry as far as how big the industry is?
Yeah, it's really, the numbers are really, really pretty large. It's quite exciting. The last stats for the home improvement industry were around $150 billion. That focus is not just on small handyman work, but obviously remodeling of kitchens and bathrooms. As I say, and the size of the industry again is some of the reasons that our franchisees broke our revenue records last year. And you know, it's an exciting opportunity because the demographic changes we have with baby boomers and dual income families and single professionals, people are now looking for more people to do things for them. That's only going to continue to grow. So we're really excited about the industry opportunity.
That's great.
Interesting. Jim, what has been the most interesting thing that's happened to you at House Doctors? Was it when you took your whole company for a two-week paid vacation to Scotland?
Yeah, that was something that we did try, but it wasn't the most exciting thing. Anyway, I would have to say that last year was the most exciting year that we've had here. You know, obviously, the media and all the things that are happening when you turn on the TV, negativity that we see in a lot of markets because of the economy and the changes that are happening. We were actually seeing growth, and as I said, some of our franchisees, we spoke about some of them earlier, doing fantastic results and the fastest growth in the history of the company. Our new franchisees last year ramped up over 70% faster than they ever have in the history of the company, and our highest generating revenue franchisee in the history of the company. These were all exciting last year, and as I said, to be doing that sort of thing in a down economy was probably the greatest thing that's happened to this company for a while. So.
I see.
Yeah.
What types of characteristics do you look for in a franchisee? You have a good amount of franchisees now. I guess you have a good idea of who might fit in your system. What are specific characteristics, Jim, you look for?
Well, most definitely it's a manager. It's not, as we touched on earlier, not the person who swings the hammer. We're looking for someone who's comfortable building a team, who's maybe had some supervisory management experience before. We also look for them to be comfortable and understanding the importance of the sales and marketing role. And we have a lot of relationships now with national vendors who will help them put together programs with our input as to how they will build their business within their market. But they have to be comfortable and know the importance of the marketing and building a brand. And we also, as I say, want them to build a customer service culture. So that's the sort of thing that we're looking for. We do personality profiles as part of our selection criteria. We have a discovery day where they come and they interview us so they can get to know our team. And we also talk to them and interview them to feel that they're a comfortable fit. We most definitely believe in getting the right match in the franchise. And if we can get the right franchisee with the right skills, we know we've got the right programs to help them make their business a success.
Interesting. And who are your franchisees, Jim? I mean, have they had like diverse backgrounds? Have you seen that?
Yes. I thought when I got into franchising 20 years ago that everybody would be like me, but it wasn't quite the situation. And interestingly enough, people come from different areas to business ownership, or different backgrounds to business ownership, and there's lots of different reasons of how they got there. There may be VPs of other companies. There may be people who have been managers, who have been supervisors. There may be people who actually, we've got them who have built businesses of their own, but maybe need to take it to the next level and look for a franchise company to give that marketing support and the system that they couldn't put in place. So it's varied. It's people who come to a crossroads in their life. Maybe they've been downsized in today's world by their own company, and they're thinking maybe business ownership is the way to go. And, it varies in their background, but they all have the common thing of coming to a crossroads and making a decision that let me investigate this franchising.
That's something. I was reading about the training. It sounds like it's a pretty intense training program for new franchisees.
Yeah, it's very extensive. It starts with a pre-training phase, which we call our Fast Start program. This can take up to from 4 to 7 weeks, and actually can be done from home. We have a checklist of over 100 items in our Fast Start program that we work through with the franchisee to help him prepare for the business ownership. So, I mean, we've done it before. We've got lots of experience here, and we've put together this checklist so that we don't miss anything. Everything from setting up his company to doing a business plan is included in this Fast Start program. Once it's completed, that it then comes on our initial training week. So the initial training concludes with an intense week of classroom training here in Cincinnati. And franchisees learn everything from scheduling the handyman to go out to do the work and even hiring the handyman, how they hire them, who they're looking for, the questions to ask, and what background the handyman should have, right through to preparing a marketing plan and budget. After the training, franchisees are therefore ready to hit the ground running and ready to launch their business. But it doesn't really stop there. That first year is critical to the business. Therefore, we have what we call an academy program. So as soon as they start their first year, they get put on the academy program, and that means that they're monitored and compared. Their growth is compared to other franchisees that went through the same programs. So we can tell immediately. They send us the data and reports, and we can tell immediately if they're doing what they should be doing, or if they're not achieving the results, or if they're out of whack with one particular part of their business. And we can tell that relatively quickly and get them back online. And we don't stop there. So that's from home office support. But we also have a mentoring program they go in their first year. And we network them with maybe Joe and Pottsville or another successful franchisee who they can then talk to and compare notes with and say, if there are any challenges or any concerns, they can also not just discuss it with us, but also discuss it with an existing franchisee. So it's pretty extensive now for the franchisees. And as I said, that's one of the reasons our franchisees are ramping up 70% faster than they ever did in the history of the company.
That's fantastic. And I think, that technology that you guys use, you can help you identify if there is a problem with the franchisee early, And I love that mentoring program, too, to kind of help, I guess you could say, share best practices,
Yes.
Which I think is so important. Is there a typical day for your franchisees, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I always talk to franchisees. It's a pretty fast-paced environment that they work in, but the franchisee is very much in control of it. It's differs from say maybe a fast food franchise where their busy time maybe the lunch or certain times of the day when the customers are coming to them. The franchisee very much controls it in a house doctor's franchise. They normally start their day by reviewing emails or voicemails that they may need to attend to in the morning. And while they're doing this, they might check the schedule to review the jobs that the handymen are working on that day. Before leaving the office, they may review the schedule and discuss maybe the next stage of their marketing plan with their customer service representative. The CSR is also the one who schedules the handymen when customers call in. So the CSR really runs the office environment, obviously managed by the franchisee. And then the franchisee may make some site visits. He might pick something up on the way from Home Depot on the way to visiting one of his handymen. But he'll also take the opportunity to visit with customers in the market and build up relationships. It's a part of the franchisee's role to do a networking within his market. He may go to a BNI, a business networking meeting, a Chamber of Commerce meeting. He may fit one of them in during his day. And he also may visit commercial property owners as part of his commercial marketing plan, because this business is also focused on the commercial side as well as the residential. And there's all sorts of property owners there who also need professional handymen. So he goes out and visits commercial property owners to let them know of his services. He'll then return at the end of the day to the office, catch up with his CSR to review the day's progress and plan the any new work that has come in and review what direction they're going in the following day.
You definitely have to maximize potential business, and that's good. Residential, commercial,
yes.
Talking to other segments, and
yes.
you know, networking. You're right; it's a big part, Jim.
Yes.
What advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy a franchise?
Well, I think you know, obviously, coming from being a franchisee, you know, I've learned through experience and working in different franchise systems. First, I would say that every franchise is not the same. And a franchise does not guarantee success.
Right.
I would say that the skills you need to run a fast food franchise, for example, are different from the skills you need to run a handyman franchise.
Right.
So when considering buying a franchise, I think entrepreneurs, you know, should focus on matching the skills that they have with the skills that are required by the franchisor. They should look at existing franchisees that are making it work and compare what they brought to the table. At House Oxford, we believe that when you get that match right of a franchisee coming along with the right skills, and you also give the right programs and put the right things in place for that franchisee, then franchising is one of the strongest business models in the market. And an entrepreneur should focus and find out what it takes to be a successful franchisee in that system.
Great advice, Jim. What are House Doctor's plans for the future?
As I said, the average homeowner has 22 items on their honeydew list. My wife actually says we've got 52 items. She says the first time I've been above average at anything. So if you also consider changes in their demographics like baby boomers, dual income families, single professionals that I spoke about earlier, and the fact that each generation has less skills than the work than the previous generation, then this market will continue to grow. House Doctors, we plan to have around 400 franchises in the U.S. alone, and we're now also talking with interested parties about opening in other countries. So we're excited about the future and where this can go.
Yeah, a lot of growth.
Absolutely. Jim, what's the best way for our listeners to get more information on your franchise opportunity?
HouseDoctors.com, today's technology.
That's fantastic. And we have that posted right up on our show page. And Don and I want to thank you again, Jim. You've been an incredible guest, and we'd love to have you back towards the end of the year or early next year.
Thank you.
Good
Thanks
job. So much, Jim.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
So, Han Don?
Yeah, nice guy.
It was interesting what he said, too, about, you know, the generation, like the younger generation having less skills, you know, than the preceding generation. That makes a lot of sense. So, as you were saying, you know, that growth opportunity is just incredible, isn't it?
A needed service. If people have to get it, and if you're good, in this
it
case,
sure
a package in a franchise can be an interesting investment for someone out there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's a great opportunity, you know. So, again, for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com. Franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com, and again, we have some great shows coming up over the next month. We got Wing Zone, we've got Big Mouth Advertising, we've got Rita's, we've got TSS Photography, and so it's going to be an exciting month coming up, Don.
Yeah, great opportunities. Look forward to those shows, Marty. You have a great day. Good
you
job.
You too, John. Enjoy your holiday, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Take care.
Take care.